And welcome to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Obin. Our phone number, let's remember, the phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. We'll get you caught up on today's Giants activities, as well as some fantasy football later with Anita Marks. It is time to open up right away, Roman. I don't want to waste any time with the Adorama news of the day,
right?
Because Victor Cruz, just about an hour or so ago, underwent arthroscopic knee surgery.
Well, we said it yesterday with in the press conference that he's really been the only spark offensively as far as that perimeter passing attack all season. And when you see him go down like this, it was just, you hope it was anything, it wasn't the worst. But again, arthroscopic surgery, it's not an ACL. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but if the medical staff says it needs to be scoped or needs diagnosis, then that's what it is. But the Giants will be without Victor Cruz on Sunday, which is the bottom line.
And the ironic thing is, when he first hit the ground, as you just saw in the highlight, I think everybody thought that the concussion that he suffered might have been worse. Rather, the knee is the bigger problem. Let's get a look at the rest of the injuries. Now, guys who returned to practice today were James Brewer, Cullen Jenkins, Jarrell Jernigan, and Terrell Thomas.
Yeah, and you're going to need all those guys. You know, Brewer on the offensive line that didn't have a great week last week. Cullen Jenkins, obviously, on that defensive line to stop that offensive Detroit. And obviously, Jernigan with Cruz being gone and the secondary with T-squared. So they're going to need all four of those guys on Sunday.
Roman, can you believe it? We already have a phone call. So let's go to Michael from Connecticut. You're first on Big Blue Hits. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm going to the game Sunday in Detroit because I got family up there and I'm going for Christmas.
Nice.
I don't know if the Giants have any chance.
Well,
that's a pretty general. I think everybody that suits up for a Tom Coughlin football team has got to believe that they have a chance. So I think they want to make it a good trip for Mike as well. But obviously the Giants have some holes that they need to fill, and this is a team that's trying to win their division, and they're going to get their best effort. I think the Giants just need to match that effort on Sunday.
One thing interesting, Cullen Jenkins was telling the writers today that there is a lot of value in trying to win these final two games, because if you do, it gets you close to 500 and makes you feel a lot better going into the offseason. One of the guys on the injury report that I want to refer to, once again, we've been talking about him for several weeks, is JPP, because, you know, he's had this strange shoulder for quite a while, and people keep wondering if he's going to get back out there. Well, the bottom line is, if the doctors don't clear him and he's a danger to himself, they're not going to let him play.
I can't go out there and defend myself, so I'm not, you know, if I can't do that, there's no reason for me playing, you know, as a football player, and I play defense, you know, and I hit guys, I deliver the blow, so, you know, if I can't do that, I'm not going to put myself in a predicament to go out there and then I got my teammates, you know, looking at me crazy. You know what I mean? If you're not well enough to play, then, you know, you should be on the sideline. Okay?
Now, again, no one is saying there's any definitive word either way. And Jason himself added, Roman, that surgery is still a possibility, although he wants to do everything he can to avoid it.
Well, Paul, I think the smartest thing that JPP said is that it's on the doctors. It's on the medical staff. And that's the way things are done here at the Giants facilities. I mean, at the Giants organization. And again, and everyone knows, everyone wants this 2011 JPP, which we haven't seen in a while. I mean, he had the pick six against Dallas a few weeks ago, and it reminds you of that year. But again, he hasn't been healthy. Doctor said he's not good. And I think JPP, you know, he shouldn't have any sound bites. I think he should just, you know, work as hard as he can and just try to get back to as close to 100%. That may not be the 2013 season, unfortunately.
Okay, Roman, let's go from the defensive line to the offensive line. Now, David Deal is on that injury report. Again, did not practice today. So that means perhaps Brandon Mosley might wind up starting against Detroit on Sunday. Now, Kevin Booth says, really doesn't matter who gets shuffled in or out. This offensive line's got to get the job done.
Well, guys get nicked up throughout the course of the season in terms of missing practice time and things like that. So whoever's in there, I trust them. They study the playbook. They know what it's like. And you can only get mental reps during, you know, throughout the course of the year, because you're not going to get many physical reps until your time's called. So those guys have definitely stayed in tune with what we're doing, and they're able to hop right in today.
So the Giants are hoping that Deal's knee gets better so that he can play, but that's an issue right now. And then James Brewer has that ankle. Now, again, he did practice today, but this offensive line is in a bit of a disarray.
You're right, Paul. And I think one thing Giants fans need to understand is that there's a lot of preparation time spent preparing for these games, meetings, walkthrough, film, practice, obviously more film, more meetings. And I mean, these guys are 8-9 hours a day, Wednesdays and Thursdays. So they're trying to find the best combination that will work on Sunday if Brewer cannot go or Deal. And then you got Mosley. I think Mosley is a guy that could play. He could play center guard. You'd have to move Booth over. And then obviously a guy, Dallas Reynolds, who Giants fans do not know, may be able to play as well. But again, I said this yesterday. I mean, you're getting to the bottom of the bag here. If you were talking about a bag of potato chips, I mean, every 8-9 guys that have made this offensive line, this football team, they've been required to play. Injuries have been a part of it, but whoever's up, those 5 guys have to play as a unit no matter what.
By the way, those crumbs get greasy.
Yeah, they do at the bottom.
The Lions are 4th in the NFL against the rush, and quite frankly, they get a pretty decent pass rush from their 2 tackles, Fairley and Ndamukong Suh, who have combined for 9 sacks this year. Eli Manning knows that they present a challenge.
You know, we'll be ready, and we'll have whoever's out there, we'll be prepared to go and hopefully be able to run our offense well. And we know they're talented. They got a great defensive up front, and do a good job getting pressure, just bringing 4 guys a lot of times. But so we just got to get ready for their scheme, what they want to do, and have some good answers.
Well, the Giants know it will be difficult to move the ball against these guys. In fact, they've only allowed, the Lions have, 1 100-yard rusher this year. That was LeSean McCoy of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, this interior defensive line of the Detroit Lions, I mean, is really built on the physicality, the toughness. I mean, they really do a great job penetrating those A and B gaps. I mean, you have Ndamukong Suh, you know, minus the penalties he's gotten. You see the safety here. He's a guy that you want on your football team. Unfortunately, he's not on the Giants team. He's playing against them. And they're going to have their most physical game they've had. He's great inside. He's instinctive. He's strong. He's like Reggie White, almost playing inside. And then you've got Fairley, who's really the most complete defensive tackle on that roster. He can run a little bit more. He's a little bit smaller than Ndamukong Suh, but he's quicker. He's quick off the ball. He could be a problem, especially on the road. And then you can't forget the way this D-line was constructed. Ziggy Ansah is a defensive end. And what they do in Detroit, they almost play that wide 9 that mm-hmm. the Eagles did a few years ago, where they collapse the outsides and force you to go inside. So you either got penetration outside and you got run stuffers on the inside. So, I mean, that's what the Giants are going to be facing on Sunday.
And Ansah has 7 sacks on the season. Once again, our number is 201-939-4513. Back with more Big Blue Hits after this.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody down. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Back here on Big Blue Hits, 201-939-4513 is our phone number, and let's go right back to those phone calls. Ernest from Connecticut, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
We're well. How are you?
I'd like to ask a question, but I'd like to hear your answer. How many of the star players that are going to contracts run out this year? How many of them do you think we're going to see back? Like maybe Akeem Nicks. I don't know who else. Akeem Nicks.
All right. Well, we'll go through some of the names. Obviously, Akeem Nicks is one of them. Justin Tuck is another guy who's in the final year of his deal. Andre Brown's another one. Stevie Brown, who's been on IR all year,
yeah,
is another guy in the final year of his deal. There's a whole host of them. Part of the thing is going to be injury situation. Part of it's going to be cap number. And part of it's going to be, do the Giants want to move on?
Yeah, and also, Paul, you have to consider a team always values a player at number X. And then you have the agent, the player getting involved. So for a guy like Tuck, for example, I'm sure the Giants want him back. He's playing well. He's got 9 sacks. But where do they value him numerically or financially, rather? And then you got guys like Brandon Myers. I mean, one-year guy. He came here to make a difference. He wants to prove that he's not a stopgap guy, and he can maybe be a part of this Giants offensive future. So these next two games, starting on Sunday, everybody's involved. Everyone's trying to play for something. You know, it may not be playoffs, but everyone's trying to play for something. Contract, to prove that you're part of the problem. Prove that you're part of the solution
there
and not
go.
The problem going into 2014. So, but you have to put it on the staff, the administration, the Jerry Reese and the owners, you know, to who will be those guys to come back next year.
All right, now Detroit is 7-7. They're still playing for a potential playoff spot, and obviously they're going to lean on Calvin Johnson, the Megatron. This guy has done absolutely everything this year. Top three in the NFL in receiving yards, average per catch, touchdown catches. Principal Kamara knows this guy's the real deal.
I've gone once against the Eagles, 1 week, and just with the type of game plan we had, it was orchestrated for me and Tremaine to play right and left. That was the second time we played them, and we won. So I just trust our coordinators, and whatever they ask us to do, we do it.
See, so as you can tell, Prince not intimidated at all and not thinking that he's necessarily going to shadow Megatron. The Giants may very well just play him straight up.
Yeah, and Prince has had a good season. And I think for every young player, you know, you have that defining moment in your career where you're measured by the guys you go against. And I think if Prince can have a good game and really contain Calvin Johnson, I mean, this could be good for his confidence, his career. And again, Calvin Johnson gets a lot of attention, and he deserves it. And a lot of these stats, and you look at his numbers, you know, 1,400 yards plus, you know, that average of 17.9, that's really because of that Dallas game. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime type of game, and that's going to keep your average up. You take that game away, you know, maybe he's averaging 15 yards a catch. He's still Megatron, obviously, but he's used to getting a lot of attention, and he's deservingly so, and he's still been productive when he's double and triple covered.
Now, one of the problems the Lions do have, though, is that they've got so many terrific players like Megatron, and so Stafford tends to force the ball some, and that leads to turnovers. Detroit's got 31, which is second in the NFL to the Giants.
Yeah, 100%, Paul. And I think a way to stop Megatron, a way to stop, you know, Reggie Bush and some of these guys, you've got to get to the quarterback. You've got to get to Stafford. You've got to pressure him. You've got to make him uncomfortable in that pocket.
And Justin Tuck told us the other day, if the Giants are going to win this game, they probably need to get the ball.
Every week, you know, we got that's part of our identity on football. I mean, on defense, we haven't really did the best job of that this year, but obviously the opportunities are there this week, and hopefully we can capitalize on it.
Now, getting the ball can be a little bit easier said than done, because as you look across the line of scrimmage at the Lions wide receivers, they're 6'6", they're 6'5", they're 6'6", they're 6'5". They got a bunch of skyscrapers over there. You got to fight for the ball if you really want it.
Yeah, they got, I mean, tight ends at 265, 270 pounds plus. I mean, all their receivers are really north of 200 pounds. So not only do they have the physical attributes and the speed, but they've got the size to win some of those physical matchups. So, again, you're going to have to be smart, instinctive, tough defensively, and you're going to have to be physical to go against these offensive weapons in Detroit.
Yeah, Durham's not a guy a lot of people know out of, or Pettigrew for that matter, the tight end. But those guys can produce. Looking at the numbers here, though, you know what? They're also getting some good running numbers out of Reggie Bush. In fact, he's closing in on 1,000 yards this season. And Ryan Mundy says you got to watch out for him.
No, he's well documented as a guy who gets to the second level and he's tough to bring down. So we got to have 11 hats to the ball every play because he's a home run threat anytime he touches the ball.
Bush has had 3 100-yard games this season, Roman.
Yeah, I mean, look at Reggie Bush. You know, one thing you can appreciate just from as a football player, he's become a better runner, a better running back. The season he had at Miami last year, he was always good in space. You know, he's now been in the league 8 years. He's known to make a guy miss. He does his somersault into the end zone every time he scores. But he's become a tougher runner, and he kind of picks and chooses his spots when he kicks into the fifth gear and when he's just, you know, holding on to the football. So he's trying to stay healthy this year. But, again, you got Calvin Johnson over the top, and you got Reggie Bush underneath. And you look what happened with Danny Woodhead a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's 10 times better than Danny Woodhead. He's going to definitely create some mismatches against safeties, linebackers and such, and maybe even some corners, depending on who's on him.
You know, somehow, some way, the Lions have kind of sputtered to this 7-7 record. For a team that's got so many good players on both sides of the ball, Roman, you'd think they'd be better. But the bottom line is, because of penalties and turnovers, a familiar song, folks, they've kind of shot themselves a little too much in the foot.
Yeah, and Let's talk about how this team is constructed. You know, this Jim Schwartz philosophy came from his time at Tennessee at Jeff Fisher when he was defensive coordinator, and that's the kind of teams they had. They were tough, physical. They almost try to bully you, but it's feast or famine. I mean, they want their sacks, their turnovers, but they're not a disciplined team. I mean, they've never been a disciplined team on both sides of the ball. You know, you've got the drops. Calvin Johnson have a great game, and then they'll just flat out drop the ball. You know, Stafford, he can sling it, and sometimes he just overthrows the ball, underthrows it, tries to do too much to Reggie Bush, I mean, to his, any offensive weapons. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Paul, they just, you know, Ndamukong Suh's been fined, you know, $500,000 in penalties. So, but you have to keep your calm and composure because bottom line is you're on the road and you're trying to get a W.
Okay, 201-939-4513 if you want to get on the line to talk about fantasy football in segment four. But coming up next, Roman and I will play Fact or Fiction, so stick around.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Hey, welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess, Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you. It is time for us to go through Fact or Fiction. This is kind of a fun game we play here at the Giants facility, trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen in Sunday's game. This week, it's the Giants taking on the Detroit Lions on the road. If we can get question number one on the board, it would be Joakim Bell will lead all running backs in rushing on Sunday. Actually, it's Joakim Bell. Let me make sure I get it right, because actually translated into English, that means conqueror.
All right. I love it. I'm not a big translator of names, but I think I'm going to say fiction on this one because I think Andre Brown will still be, as far as just running the ball, the best running back on the field. And I think circumstances will really dictate, you know, what happens at the end of the game. Are you playing catch-up? Are you running the ball? Are you trying to, you know, knock him out in the fourth quarter with those runs? I think so that determines, but I still think Andre Brown is the complete running back in this game. Joakim Bell is really a complimentary guy to Reggie Bush.
I'm going to go fiction. I just got a feeling that Bush, nearing 1,000 yards, he's going to have a big game. He's quick. He's elusive. He gets into open space and can do a lot of damage. So I'm going fiction on this one. Now, after Sunday's game, someone on the Giants and Lions will lead the NFL in interceptions. Levy from Detroit has 6. Roll from the Giants has 6. Roman, give it a shot.
Well, given the history of this season of the Giants turning the ball over, I think it's going to be Levy. I think Levy is going to have, whether it's tip ball, I'm going to say fact, it's going to be tip ball, Hail Mary, something. I think Levy is going to come down with a pick, entre roll, you know, maybe as successful, but I'm going to put my, if I had to put money on, which I don't, I'm going to say Levy, fact.
You know why I'm going fact? Because you got two guys tied for the NFL lead. I think Sherman from Seattle also has 6. But you're getting 2 for the price of 1 here. The question that our producer, John Schmelt, gave us is that, will either one of them? So I'm going to say definitely it's going to be fact, because you're getting double the chances of one of these guys getting their 7th pick. All right, question number 3. There will be more than 4 turnovers in Sunday's game, Roman.
Well, if you're talking about the game itself, I'm going to say 100% fact. Last week, 5 turnovers. The Giants, you know, Eli Manning had his probably worst game of the year. I think between the Giants and what, you know, Stafford may overthrow some balls, is trying to get it to Calvin Johnson too much. He'll have some turnovers. I think you're going to have north of 4 turnovers, so I'm going to say fact 100%.
I'm also going to go fact, because between these two teams, they have well over 60 turnovers combined, and I just don't think at this point in the season you can necessarily clean those things up. You are what you are, and that's what these two teams are. All right, next question on the board. Calvin Johnson will finish with more than 125 receiving yards.
I'm going to say fiction on this one, Paul, just because I think Prince Amukamara is going to have a good physical game. He's playing a big receiver. I think he plays well to that type of competition. And I think it's Calvin Johnson is going to demand a lot of attention, which he always had. I said this in the last block, but I think defensively, Prince is going to be physical. You got Antro roll over the top. They're going to say, if no one's going to beat us, 81 is not going to beat us. I think Reggie Bush probably will have some of the receiving yardage that you lose from Calvin Johnson. I don't think he'll have 125 yards.
Well, you know, I'm going to go that this is fact, and because I think with McBride being nicked up a bit, we don't know exactly what his availability is going to be on Sunday, and the Giants still do tend to play a lot of straight up. You know, you just don't know. It could be Hosley on Megatron. He's given up a lot of physicality there. I got to think that Megatron will make some plays. I'm going fact. All right, Roman, the Lions will have more defensive penalties than sacks.
Well, I'm going to say fact on that one. I mean, they're probably going to have 5 or 6 defensive penalties, which I hope they don't have 5 or 6 sacks, because that's going to be bad for Eli Manning or whomever's at quarterback. But I'm saying fact on that one.
Okay, I'm going to go fiction on that, and I honestly don't have a great reason why. I just figured I'd be different than Mahara here. Next up, Hakeem Nicks will lead the Giants in receiving yards on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to say fact, because with Victor Cruz being out, and obviously Jernigan's going to get a shot, Hakeem Nicks is it. I mean, this is his game. This is his 10-catch, 175-yard, 3-touchdown games. Hopefully he has that type of game, because that's going to mean the Giants are getting in the end zone. I'm going to say fact on that one.
Well, see, without Cruz there, I think Detroit's going to do everything they can to take out Hakeem Nicks. I'm going to go fiction, because I think if the Giants have a leading receiver, and I don't know how many yards they're going to pass for, I'm going to go Reuben Randall, because I think that he might be able to get open a little bit more. So, in any case, Roman, what we have here is a Giants team, again, just desperate for a win to feel good about itself, and a Lions team that still has playoff aspirations. It's not a good mix.
Well, the Lions are trying to win the division, obviously, but look, since their bye week, November 3rd weekend, they've lost 4 out of 6 games. I mean, this team isn't Super Bowl ready or playoff ready. I mean, there's a chink in the armor in this Detroit Lions team, whether it's the discipline aspect of it, the drop balls, the inconsistency on offense, their defensive secondary, which is really porous. So there are some opportunities there for the Giants. I think the Giants just have to score early and just make it competitive. Last week, 13-0 at halftime, defense really did an admirable job. This week, it's the onus is on offense to try to go on the road and put up some points, give defense a chance.
Roman, good to see you, my friend. Merry Christmas.
My pleasure, anytime. Same here.
All right, we're going to send Roman out, bring Anita Marks in to talk fantasy football. Our number is 201-939-4513. But first, we check in on Anita, who had a chance to talk to one of the Giants receivers.
Anita Marks here with wide receiver Lewis Murphy. And Lewis, very disappointing loss to the Seattle Seahawks. What's the feel of this locker room right now as you guys are getting ready to head to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Lions?
Cool. First, I want to say happy holidays, Anita. Happy holidays, Giants. The feel is good, you know. I mean, everybody's down and tough, but it was a tough loss. But Wednesday, you know, those are the days where we start turning around and focusing on, you know, our upcoming opponent, which is Detroit, and we definitely want to finish this season strong. We want to finish it strong and with pride and professionalism.
On a personal level, unfortunately, Victor Cruz dealing with a concussion and a knee issue. Jarrell Jernigan's not 100%. This is an opportunity for you to maybe see a lot of playing time this coming week. You excited about that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's our motto. You know, if someone goes down, this person has to come up. You know, I'm ready for my opportunity when my number's called, and I'm ready.
Well, the Detroit Lions have given up 17 receiving touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. I'm sure you've seen the game film. Yeah. An opportunity to have success in the passing game this week?
Yes, but it's going to, you know, come with a great game plan with Coach Gilbert and the O-line, receivers, you know, everybody plays a part in it, the entire offense. I think it will be a great opportunity for us to go out and compete and to win a ball game.
All right, so we know Eli's going to have to go up against some guy named Sue, who you know is going to be coming after him.
Yeah.
Does the offensive game plan, does it change a little bit for hot routes? And you know that Eli's going to be audibling because you're expecting a blitz from Sue in that offensive line.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, we haven't gotten really to the pressure on part of it. We'll get into that more tomorrow. But I'm pretty sure, you know, Sue is a great player, you know, tough, physical guy. And so, you know, he definitely will have a red dot on him. And they have a great defensive line, you know, and Fairley and a lot of other guys they put on the D-line. So it'll definitely be a challenge. So we'll be facing a really good Detroit Lions team, and we just got to prepare the way we prepare and come out and win.
Well, good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, Anita.
All right, Anita, thanks so much. And she joins us here to talk fantasy football, 201-939-4513. What else? It's championship week. We got to talk to you now.
Yeah, fantasy football. This is what everybody's been playing for. This is the time that, you know, not everybody is as fortunate as I am, and that's I work for a living to really bring you fantasy football information. So I'm online all the time. Majority of folks are in their cubicle, Paul. They're online. They're trying to look at their fantasy league, what players to pick up, what players to drop. Meanwhile, they're turning their backs. They're hoping that their boss doesn't walk behind them and fire them because they're spending too much time on fantasy football. This is the week that you've done all that for. This is the week to win it.
Yeah, and, you know, you're in 4 championship games, as I understand?
12 leagues, made it to the playoffs in 10, went all the way to championship playoff week 10, and lost 6 games last week, which means I only advanced in the championship in 4.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah. Now, let's get to it because this stuff is really, really important. We're going to start with some of the big names at quarterback, and Kirk Cousins, who had a big game for the Redskins last week, is a guy you like this week.
It is, and it's not necessarily a big name, but he's got a big matchup. Going up against the Dallas Cowboys, they're giving up a ton of fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks, and so this potentially could be a big start. Now, he's a backup quarterback, as we know, to RG3. I'm going on the wire here. I've got Colin Kaepernick in 2 of my 4 championships, Paul, and I'm starting Kirk Cousins over Colin Kaepernick this week. And Colin Kaepernick's got a great matchup in the Atlanta Falcons, but I believe in Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to put up monster fantasy football points, so I'm rolling with Cousins this week. Yep.
Your mom's not going to be happy about that. She's a Cappy fan, in case you didn't know, folks.
Well, she calls him Copernicus.
Yeah.
Hey, which I think is kind of cute.
Nick Foles, an interesting play, because the Dallas game on Sunday has a huge impact on what the Eagles might do the following week. If Dallas wins, Philly's inconsequential in terms of their season finale.
Right. So, and keep in mind, I mean, this is a Sunday night game. So if you're banking on Foles, or you're banking on LeSean McCoy, or you're banking on DeSean Jackson, you need to make sure that you have a backup plan, because that Dallas game ends at 4 o'clock. You need to make a decision at that point in time. Are you going to start some 4 o'clock players at your quarterback position, your wide receiver, your running back position, just in case Chip Kelly decides to either bench his players for an entire game or even a half? That would not bode well for you on championship week.
Folks, big secret. Since it's the final time we do this segment this year, I am a fantasy football nut, and I got Aaron Rodgers. Okay, am I playing him or not?
What? You're not. Stop pretending. Aaron Rodgers practiced today. This is the second week that apparently he's looked phenomenal at practice, but a decision will not be made until Friday. But how big would that be? I mean, let's face it. Aaron Rodgers went in the first round of most fantasy football drafts. He was pretty much the first quarterback taken. For you to get him back in championship week 16 would be tremendous. Another guy you want to keep your eye on is Adrian Peterson. Limited at practice on Wednesday. The media, the portion of practice that's media can sit in and see and watch, he was nowhere to be found. So he did not participate. Not to say that maybe he was limited again this week, but keep an eye on Adrian Peterson. There's a chance that he might not go in week 16. And Paul, that was the one guy that was drafted number 1 overall in most fantasy leagues.
Yeah, that's a really big blow to a lot of people. Now, you know, in New York here, firsthand, we got to look at that Seattle defense last weekend. And boy, they are good, especially that secondary. So if you have Larry Fitzgerald, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I want to go down the laundry list of guys that are really big-time fantasy football players that pretty much throughout the year of giving you great fantasy football points, but have really bad matchups this week. Larry Fitzgerald, as you said, going up against Seattle. Peyton Manning, believe it or not, going up against the Texans, they're only giving him an average of 17 fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks. That does not bode well, even though, yes, it's Peyton Manning. I'm not telling you to bench Peyton Manning. I would never tell you that. But realistic expectations in regard to the amount of points that he's going to offer. Drew Brees and Cam Newton going up against each other, those two defenses are pretty solid. Marshawn Lynch going up against the Arizona Cardinals. They're very good against the rush. Martellus Bennett going up against the Eagles. The Eagles are number 1 against tight ends. And Tony Gonzalez, of all tight ends, this is a guy that's huge in the red zone. He's going up against San Francisco. San Francisco is the 3rd best defense against opposing tight ends. So big-time players with really bad matchups this week. Real quick, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Julian Edelman, Kendall Wright, Crabtree. These are guys that you want to play this week with great matchups.
Anita, great stuff as always. Good luck in your championship games.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Guys, for Roman Oben and Anita Marks, we all wish you a very happy holiday here from the New York Giants. We'll see you next time on Big Blue Hits.